Good morning, and thank you for tuning in on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. This morning, we start in the midst of worship with our children's moment, followed by this week's sermon. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
As you find your seats, I invite the young kids to come and join me for this morning's children's moment. All right, how are you guys doing this morning? Awesome. Well, I want to start out by kind of giving you a little bit of a scenario. Let's pretend you guys are walking down the sidewalk, and you look over in the grass, and you find one of these. Do you guys know what these are? No? Never seen one of these? This is what you call a bank bag. A bank bag. And do you know what people put in these?
Money.
They put money in these, right? And so you're walking along and you find one of these in the grass. And you look inside and there's a large amount of money inside of it. What do you do? Do you either take the money and give it to your mom and dad or take it to the police department and try to find the rightful owner? Or do we just say, hey, today is my lucky day, and keep the money all to ourselves? Well, we'll get into that here in a minute, right? But I want to tell you two quick short stories about two young kids that chose to do the right thing. Now, the first boy, his name was Hector, and he was at school, at high school, and he needed a snack. So he went over to the vending machine, and on top of the vending machine, he saw a bag. And he opened the bag up, and there was money inside the bag, around like $120. And so he takes that bag of money, and he takes it to his teacher. And then him and the teacher go to the principal's office to turn that money in. And when the principal said, Hector, why did you turn the money in? You could have just kept it for yourself. Hector said that he was afraid that if he kept it, the employee who accidentally left that money there would get into a lot of trouble. And he wanted to do the right thing. And the second story is about a girl named Susie, or Susan. And she was walking home from school, and she was crossing the street, and she found a bag just like this one. And she took it home with her, and she went home, and she counted up, and inside that bag was $6,000. And she took that money, and she took it to the police department, and they found out that a store owner had dropped this bag on his way to taking the money to the bank. And the bank and the store owner was so happy that Susan found it and that she turned it in. Susan just wanted to do the right thing. So when we hear stories like that, we kind of stop and think, you know what? If I was in that exact same situation, what would I have done? Would I have kept all that money? I mean, nobody knew I picked it up. No one knows I have it. I could just keep it for myself. Or we could just do the right thing and turn it in, right? Well, we got this bank bag up here. So do you guys want to see what's in it? Let's see what's in it. There is money in it. There's money in it. Want to see how much money's in there? A dollar. A whole dollar was in it. So what would you guys do if you found this bank bag and inside there was a dollar? Or you were in your classroom and you found on the floor a dollar right there by your teacher's desk. Now, would you guys do the same thing as Hector and Susan, or would you say, you know what, it's just a dollar. I mean, no one's going to be missing a dollar. Is it really worth all that trouble to go find the owner for just $1? What would you guys do? Give it to the teacher, okay? Give it to your mom. You'd still try to find the owner for the dollar, right? Yeah, because it doesn't matter if it's $1,000 or $100 or just $1. Honesty isn't defined by a dollar amount. Honesty is defined by doing the right thing. And Jesus told his disciples that when we're honest with little things, people will trust us to do big things. But if we're dishonest with little things, no one's going to trust us with any of the big things. It doesn't matter if it's big or small, we should always be honest in every situation. Okay? Will you guys pray with me? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, help us to remember what you taught us about honesty, and help us to be honest in every situation, whether it's big or small. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's kids shout it out. Amen.
This morning, as we go before God in prayer, we do want to lift up the Hoberg family. Bob Hoberg passed away early Saturday morning, and so we want to lift up Lucille and their whole family in our prayers. Let us go before our Lord and Savior in prayer. Oh God, you are more than enough than we could ever need. You satisfy every need, every desire of our heart. But Lord, so often we forget that you are, and we take things back into our own control. And so, God, this morning when we come before you, we each of us bow before you from different places. Some of us bow before you triumphantly, feeling strong. Some of us bow with unsettling circumstances in our lives. Some of us are uncertain and cautious. Some bow with disappointments in life. And so, God, we come this morning, all of us, with different things on our hearts. We come to hear a puzzling lesson, one that we're not quite sure what to do with, one that involves enslavement to money. God, we all come with mixed feelings about the world of wealth and of money and of what it means to be a good steward. On the one hand, God, we want to trust you and we know that we can, but on the other hand, we struggle. We strive and we feel better when we are financially secure. On the one hand, we want to use money and cherish people, but on the other hand, we are tempted to use others for gain. On the one hand, we want to be able to take risks for you. But on the other hand, God, we are held back by our fears about tomorrow. Deliver us, gracious God, from our ongoing battle of trying to serve two masters. Enable us to put order and perspective into our lives, to be faithful with what you have put into our hands as a trust. And most of all, help us to discover what true riches are. Give us joy in our gifts, wisdom in our ability to manage money, fulfillment with goals reached, and satisfaction of joining with the faithful in building your shining city. Lord, this morning for our war-torn and war-weary world, we again come to you asking for what seems almost impossible. Almost, because nothing is impossible through you. Change the hearts of warriors, change the hearts of nations, so that we may all know your peace. Be with innocent families and children and civilians who suffer. Give us the will to put an end to war, both officially recognized wars, but also the wars the communities face daily. Wars against violence and hatred, against division and hunger, against inequality, against racism, against poverty. God, give us the will to put an end to war and the suffering which continues in so many places, even here in our own community. God, this morning we lift up the community of Burlington for the challenges and struggles that our community faces. We pray for the recent violence that has occurred, and Lord, we lift up the family members of all who are involved. Bring peace to our community. Bring healing to hurting hearts. Lord, we pray for members of our own church family who may be suffering from poor health, from financial worries, from challenges or worries at work or at home. We lift up among us many who have suffered loss, and today we especially lift up Lucille Hoberg in the loss of Bob. We pray in thanksgiving for eternal peace for Bob, but we lift up Lucille in her grief. You are our constant comforter, our source of strength, and we ask that you are both of those for Lucille. Walk through this time with her, giving her strength to work out all these details and peace as she begins the next phase of her life without Bob. Lord, bless their whole family as they grieve their loss. We know that in you we have eternal life, so that when we leave this earth, we are united with you forever. We give you the highest of praises and thanksgiving for the gift of your Son, which enables us to have this never-ending love, this connection to you. We relive the teachings of your Son today, and we pray the prayer that he taught us together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We come together today to pray and to sing and to worship and to study God's word. And so we open up our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 16, and we'll be reading verses 10 through 13. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth.
There are lots of things in life that we take for granted. Lots of things in life that we simply think, well, everybody knows how to do that. Everybody knows about this. Whatever this is. Everybody we think knows how to brush their teeth or drive down the road or put gas in your car or even ride your bike. We take tons of things for granted in our lives. But if you're just starting out, if you're learning for the very first time, then you have to go back to the very beginning and start from there. Our daughter Emmy is in kindergarten this year, and so she's at the very beginning of her educational career. And so in school, she's just starting out, learning about spelling and math and like how to go to lunch and where to be at recess and all kinds of things. And so this week, she came home and she told us that every week her class gets to go to the library. Now, you've been to the library. And I've been to the library, and so together we know the drill about where to go and how to check out books and where to return them. We know all about this. But this week, our daughter Emmy was telling us that when she went to library class, they had a wonderful lesson about how you treat your library books. For there in library, the wonderful teacher said, "Now you should not take them to the table when you're eating supper. You should not be reading your library book from school whenever you are brushing your teeth. You should not take them out into the rain. You should not read them whenever you are in the shower," the teacher said. This is good advice. You would think that everyone would know not to take their library book from school into the shower or in the rain. You'd think everybody would know not to be brushing their teeth whenever they are reading their book. But apparently, not everybody does. I'm sure someone at some point in the history of the school got toothpaste all over their book, and thus everyone has to receive this lesson about how to treat their library books. It's good advice if you are learning for the very first time. Now, over the past few weeks here in our church, this is what we have been about. In this Back to Basics, Back to School sermon series, we've been getting down to the more basic parts about what it means to have faith. And throughout this series, we have been remembering that as often as Jesus was concerned with the head and the heart and people's faith and feelings and in fact listening to him, as often as he cared about those things, he was also concerned with how we lived. What actions do we take place whenever he says, "Come and follow me"? What do we in fact do when we put that into practice? And so we're learning about some of the basic parts about what it means to be a follower of Christ. Up to this point, in the first couple of weeks, we've talked about how we're called to make faith a priority in our life. And along with this, we have to go and tell someone the good news, making faith a priority and tell somebody about it. That's what we've been about over the past 2 weeks. But we have some challenging and good stuff still ahead of us. Now, because it is back to school and back to basics, I thought that we might begin the sermon here today with a test, with having a pop quiz. It's been a while since we've had a good test here in worship, and so today seems like a great day of all the days. And so you've come today to have a test on the parables. Aren't you excited about having a test here on the parables today? 6 or so months ago, we had another test on the parables, and I know everybody got straight A's, and so I trust that you'll get straight A's again today. But there are 3 questions about this. Question 1. Can you name the group of people who had the biggest problem with Jesus? Sinners, tax collectors, religious people. What do you think? Religious people, exactly right. You've been to church before, right? A plus for all of you all. It was the Pharisees who were the leaders in the small town synagogues. It were the Sadducees who were the leaders in like the main temple there in Jerusalem. They always had issues with Jesus and what he was teaching and who he was eating with. In fact, how he lived his life. They had major issues with Jesus. These religious peoples, people who functioned just like me, who led worship. Question 2. In the parables, do you always know exactly who and what Jesus was talking about? Yes or no? No. Yeah. You've been to church before. You've been here before. Very often, Jesus uses parables to tell stories to make his audiences think a different way about something that they thought they already knew about. He would tell a story and turn the whole thing on its head to make them look at things and believe in things differently. Last question. Of all the subjects that Jesus talked about in parables and sermons and in all of his messages, which one did he talk about the most? Heaven or prayer or worship or money? Money. Someone came to first service today. Money was it. Of all the topics, of all the themes, Jesus talked about money everywhere he went. In fact, there are nearly 40 parables in the New Testament, and a quarter of them are about money. It's everywhere. There's the parable of like the young rich ruler who has done so very well for himself. He has tons of money and tons of stuff. He is living high on the hog. He is doing great in life. He knows the scriptures backwards and forwards. And so he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? I worship God. I know the commandments. What else do I have to do? Jesus says, you've given all the correct answers. Worshiping God, knowing the commandments. And the rich guy feels great about himself. But Jesus looks at him and says, sell everything you have and then follow me. And the guy can't do it. He walks away and doesn't follow Jesus. There's that parable of the farmer. I mean, he farms land that looks like ours here in Iowa, like horizon to horizon. You can see sunrise and sunset. This farmer has done so well. The harvest is overflowing. He has done so well. In fact, he actually says to himself, I'm going to tear down all of my barns and I'm going to build bigger barns because the harvest is so plentiful. I'm going to store up grain for years and years. I can like sit back and take life easy. I can eat and drink and be merry, the Bible actually says. But in this parable, Jesus tells him, whoever stores up only riches for now is not, in fact, rich in God. And the reader of the Bible, the people who hear that story are like, what do you mean, Jesus? I mean, shouldn't we save? And shouldn't we store? Shouldn't we build? Jesus leaves us hanging. And it's like that in the passage that we heard today. This crazy little parable from Luke 16. We only read like the last part of it. The folks at Bible and Brew on Tuesday night, the folks on Wednesday morning at Panera, the folks at Wednesday night here at the church, we struggled with it, we chewed on it, and we never came up with a good answer about what this parable is about. In fact, the people who are professional biblical interpreters of the Bible, whose job it is to read the Hebrew and the Greek and like study the scriptures and to write books so that I can read them and say, this is what this passage is about, none of them know what to make of this passage. Later today, if you need some homework, go home and read Luke 16, 1 to 13, the whole parable. Because you hear about this manager who's about to be fired. And because he realizes that he is too proud to beg, and he's not strong enough to dig, he's gonna go to all the people who owe his boss money, and he's gonna cut down their bill. He goes to somebody who owes, he owes 100 jugs of olive oil, and he says, make it 50. He goes to somebody else who owes 100 containers of wheat, and he says, make it 80. And then to make it even crazier, whenever this owner and boss realizes what has done, he comes to the guy that he's about to fire and he says, well done. In fact, in this, Jesus commends the guy who steals and who cheats. This story makes no sense. Literally, down the hall in my office, and every commentary I have on my bookshelf that talks about this passage, no one knows what to do with it. If this week you have a major revelation and you figure out what this parable is about, can you send me an email? Can you text me? Can you like post it on Facebook so we can figure out what this is all about? But what he does say is this. Jesus says, whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful in much. And whoever is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No one, he says, can serve two masters. For a slave will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. Jesus says, you cannot serve God and wealth. You can't serve them both. Of all the topics in the New Testament, it wasn't faith, it wasn't heaven, it wasn't the scriptures, all those things that we think Jesus would be the most passionate about. For him, it's about money. And having to make a choice, because he says, you can't serve them both. But here's the thing. I mean, Jesus talks a lot about money. But when he's talking a lot about money, even though the subject is money, it's not really about the money. Because I'm pretty sure that Jesus does not care what kind of house we live in, what kind of phone we have, what kind of car we drive. He doesn't care about any of that stuff. What he cares about is how we use it. He cares about how we view it and how much we love it. If we control it, or if it controls us. That's what Jesus cared a lot about. That's why he talked so much about it. Because he knew, and we know, back in the Old Testament, he had that big old list of the Ten Commandments. At the very top, before God talked about honoring our parents and keeping the Sabbath and all the other commandments, the very first and the very top commandment said that I am the Lord your God and you shall have no other gods before me. 2 weeks ago, that was the first priority in the sermon series that God gets top billing. The first commandment, because very often we slip into putting other things first. We slip sometimes into serving all the pressing demands of our life, of people and schedules and sports and stresses and work, even money. I mean, sometimes we get duped into thinking that this is all there is. And so because this is all there is, we have to keep and hoard and grab on to everything we can. I mean, we know that life is hard and stressful, and so we want to protect everything that we love. Sometimes, even our money. But Jesus says you can't serve both at the same time. But that's why this lesson is here. This elementary, basic kind of lesson. The lesson's before us because we're called to make a choice and choose to use the gifts that God has given us to use the gifts that God has given us to serve Him and to share His love and not serve ourselves and our interests only. We have to love God more than we love our money and our stuff. And we have to realize that all of life is a gift. That everything we have is a gift from God. And so we're called to give it away. I mean, the message is so basic and so simple and so hard to see life as a gift that it's not ours to keep. But we're called to share and serve God with everything we have. Let us pray. Oh, loving God, we give you thanks and praise for your grace and peace in our life and for all the ways in which you teach us your ways. We pray, oh God, that you may refocus our life upon yours, that though other things seem to be more important, help us to follow your will. Help us not only look at the things that we own, but look at those things that seem to own us. Help us, oh God, to focus on you and to live into your love. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message of hope from First Christian Church Disciples of Christ here in Burlington, Iowa. We are located at 1221 Park Avenue on the south side of town, in between the airport and Dankwart Park. If you're looking for a church home or looking to find a relationship with Jesus Christ for the first time, we hope that you will join us for worship this Sunday morning. We have two services every week. Our traditional service is at 8:45 a.m. and features old-time favorite hymns and a wonderful anthem by our chancel choir. Our contemporary service is at 10:45 and features our amazing band and music that you hear from today's Christian radio. Both services offer a hope-filled and challenging message for today, activities for youth and children of all ages, and open communion for all who believe in Christ. There is no better way than to begin your week with worship, so I hope you will join us. You can find out more information by going to our website at www.burlingtondoc.org, and you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BurlingtonDOC. We hope you have a great week and share the love of God with someone today.